Hello, everyone. It's time for the Security Token Show. And you might notice something different today because we have gone live on Friday instead of Monday. Love to see it. Kyle, my co-host, how are you today, buddy?
Herwig, episode 231. We are rolling. It's good to do it on Fridays just because, look, all the news came out throughout the week. We don't want to wait over the weekend to get you that hot off the press fire news, and we have another great episode for you. So consider yourself lucky. You're getting it right away.
Well, an amazing new guest on the show this week for the Market Movement. So with that, let's get right into it. And this week for our Market Movements, we have Sarah Morton from Meet Amy. How are you today? Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me. My name is Sarah Morton. I'm a co-founder and chief strategy officer of Meet Amy Innovations. And we are a company, we're based in Vancouver, BC, Canada, but we work with clients in Canada and the US. And our goal is to provide tools and education to traditional finance, financial planners, and wealth management to engage in the world of digital assets. And a lot of what we do is focused on learning about blockchain and learning about cryptocurrency and learning about tokens and tokenomics.
Well, that's exactly why you're the perfect expert to bring on to the show. We hope to bridge the gap here for everybody about what's happening in tokenization and how the technology is being used. So you will be a perfect resource today because we've got some cool updates. Obviously, the talk of town is BlackRock's Biddle fund. If you're not familiar with it, is the liquidity fund that BlackRock recently launched just a few weeks ago, now already up to 280 million AUM, roughly about 10 holders. Folks, you do have to put up a $5 million minimum to get access to it. So this is more of an institutional product to start. And we even saw the first redemption and distribution occur. So of course, this product provides yield. They did an on-chain distribution, which is completely visible on the Ethereum, you know, network. And we did see a redemption as well, the first redemption of someone taking money out.
Wow.
So some pretty cool Biddle updates. Sarah, I'm gonna pass it on to you. I'm sure you've got something to say about BlackRock.
Lots to say on this. I mean, I think this is one of the most monumental announcements in the space. You know, BlackRock entering the tokenization space is huge. Not a lot of people know about it in the worlds that we live in, unfortunately, but I think it's going to gain a lot of interest, and it's the first real large-scale use case that we've seen. So I think it's really exciting to see a brand like BlackRock putting money and effort behind this use case.
Yeah, we like to, last week on the show, we came to the conclusion of calling this category liquidity products, just like it says in the name for Biddle. And, you know, came to the conclusion of just how important this is, like you said, with scale, to be able to bring capital into these markets that are on chain. And I think as we've seen in the past with crypto, right, the moment people start getting their fiat dollars into crypto, it doesn't typically always go back out. It tends to stay on chain and diversify, which I think in this case is in a bigger scale of, hey, now we're trying to get institutions to do the exact same thing using our traditional, you know, capital markets.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the Wall Street wrapped versions of these products make it easy for investors to access them. And I think, you know, with the dipping back into crypto, looking at the Bitcoin spot ETFs, and now this, BlackRock is able to capture a lot of the money that's sitting on the sidelines that really didn't want to deal with figuring out how cryptocurrency and how investing in tokens directly work. So it's really neat to see this.
I love that they have the redemption and it worked as well. I think that you know, that's just making sure that the life cycle functions properly and that this whole product can work is a great thing. So good to see that both, you know, I don't think anybody should be surprised that BlackRock launches this product and, you know, seemingly in just a couple of weeks has hundreds of millions in commits for the the asset, considering they had such a successful ETF launch. And of course, they're probably the largest money manager that you could think of that would get into this industry. But great to see that they're on Ethereum and they're tokenizing this the way that we've been preaching and hoping, and all the startups are doing it. They're doing it the same way. And I think that that's great to show the power of the technology, great to show the ethos of what we're building, and proving the point of the fact that this is the future of managing these types of capital market products, and BlackRock continues to innovate.
Doing it on Ethereum is so powerful. I don't think, you know, it's been said enough just how big of a deal that is for public blockchains, just given that we
saw they didn't build their own blockchain proprietary thing. Like,
that's the narrative, is we're going to do things permissioned on Wall Street. And for BlackRock to come out and do all of these things publicly on Ethereum so that everybody can watch and even send their NFTs and things like that to their wallet, right? But they did that, I think, is like such an incredible statement and just pioneering thing to do. Like, I know it can't have been easy for the number of checks and balances at BlackRock that had to go through this in order to say, you know what, we're going to do it this way. And, you know, I think it's paying off if you start seeing their AUM. And I think we're going to start seeing it go into the billions very quickly. Hopefully so, as well as the rest of the product category. Now, we know Franklin Templeton also has a fund that just says still edge them out by a little bit of AUM over them, but it's also taken them close to 2 years to do that same amount. So definitely interesting to watch this category grow. Any final thoughts from anyone on this?
Oh, I just think this is the first of many tokenized products that we're going to start to see come out of TradFi. So it's a nice moment, I think, for everyone who's been in the space for a while.
Definitely is.
All right, Harry, let's get into the rest of the news.
All righty, what's next here? We've got Tuscany National Token out on T0. The idea here being that you can own a slice of Italy. you know, Italian real estate. I've personally been to Tuscany. Italy's one of my favorite countries. So this one definitely caught my eye. We've got a great interview actually that we did on the Security Token Show. You can go check out on YouTube. But meanwhile, they're officially live on T0. The idea is it's a 47-room boutique hotel, 24 VIP villas, and of course, an 18-hole golf course. So one of the benefits that we've seen in the past on T0, we see T0 do a lot of real estate with the same Regis. We saw them introduce a lot of benefits to token holders, reduced stays, discounts and experiences. They do plan to do something similar here where you also earn a perk so that when you do stay, I believe from the interview, you know, you and your guests, as long as one token holder is there, they get food and a discount on food and things like that. So very cool to see this alignment of ownership as well as customer, which I think is a big trend in tokenization, to be able to go beyond the utilization of just the stock to say, hey, now I know Kyle owns this and I know Kyle is an owner. Let me go ahead and provide him benefits and perks or usage of the token in some capacity.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward tokenization. If anybody's familiar with how these real estate deals work, it's standard. And what I mean by that is you're basically just buying corporate equity in what they call their Park Street Tuscany LLC. You're buying shares of the LLC, which then in turn owns the real estate. So we've seen this. This is, as we said, pretty standard. The reason why it's standard is because it's just the easiest way to do it. You just buy corporate equity in the LLC, which then owns the real estate. So therefore, you're getting that direct exposure. That's how they're doing it. They're trying to raise $20 million, minimum investment $5K. But great to see. I mean, more tokenized real estate in a new jurisdiction on T0. So this is as legit as it gets. And, you know, cool to see another international real estate opportunity. And kicking it off, we've got MS Capital in another Reg D raise, also on T0. So T0 firing on all cylinders this week with two new offerings, another primary deal. MS Capital is raising 10 mil, as I said, and they're focused on investing in pre-IPO, IPO, and emerging tech companies. This is a fund structure. And so that's most of the intel that we got from the press release. There's, of course, a lot of different investment mechanisms that they may partake in. You can also do a lot of the research here in the actual deal if you want to get involved, but this is a fund. So now we have corporate equity and funds. Again, the power of tokenization is that it doesn't really matter what structure you want to build in terms of your investment mechanism. All of the underlying tech stays the same. So shout out to T0 for bringing a couple of products to market and exciting to see how they succeed.
Any thoughts on T0, Sarah?
They're definitely one of the market movers in the space, building the infrastructure. So the opportunity for anyone around the world to own a slice of Italy is amazing, right? And I think it's or the pre-investment IPO. It's the democratization of finance and the democratization of investments that I think tokenization can bring to a broader audience and the rest of us, right? And unfortunately, most of us can't go and buy a resort in Italy as much as we all want to. The opportunity to be able to make a smaller investment in that through tokenization is fantastic. It opens up opportunities to the world. But I think what's also really interesting about this is you're seeing, it's not just the ability to invest, it's the ability to understand and the ability to view real time. And as you were talking about the perks and the benefits, it's, you know, tokenization is sort of this 5D business model, five dimensions that is expanding on a number of traditional investments. Yeah. And so you get all these benefits of blockchain technology. You get governance, you get to see what's going on real time. You can look at wallets, you can look at assets, you can look at holdings, you can add perks. You have proof of ownership of this asset. And so to see it starting to really happen and be available for the world to start participating in is great. And I think, you know, today we're at the high net worth or there's barriers to entry. But over time, we're going to see this available to a broader audience. And so it's just amazing to see these projects coming to life.
Oh, you're right on the money, Sarah. Even I remember from the interview we did with the team over at the Tuscany project, they actually mentioned that they absolutely want to move towards, you know, a full retail accessible, you know, product, that this is just, you know, they didn't want to take a full bet, completely tokenized, knowing that they have a lot of their traditional investors that may want to opt the you know, traditional way. So that's why they structured it with T0 this way. But they do plan to move towards that. And even still for the retail accredited sector, you know, the idea of getting access to these investments, or even just the idea that institutions can diversify more because now they can get exposure to more projects. They have to have lower ticket minimums in order to participate so they can do more deals in general. I think that's exciting in itself, even though I totally am with you that at the end of the day, this is all about the democratization, the ultimate access. Unfortunately, with funds, that's even more difficult. That's why they actually say very clearly on you know, their kind of investor relations website, they can only accept 99 investors. That is one of the requirements they have to follow with a strict fund like this. But again, how many people who can qualify even do have the access to what seems to be a very high quality, experienced track record for a company investing in pre-IPO companies? That's just not something easy to do. So very, very cool stuff. And T0, I think worth noting that they are full on focused on the primary issuance right now. We saw them want to be one of the leaders in the beginning listing a lot of tokens, meaning secondary market trading. But what we're talking about now, these are all primary offerings, all issuers raising money before they list on the secondary market. One would expect that they're all going to make their way to that. Usually there are some restrictions and seasoning periods, as they call it, some time before they can actually do that. I got another one for us to discuss here. That's really interesting, I think. Obligate, we've also seen them start to issue quite a bit, but they've done a first, if you will, using Base. So Base is, of course, Coinbase's L2 built on Ethereum, and they have been supporting RWAs by partnering up with companies like Obligate who have put all the technology together to allow an issuer to tokenize, say, a bond, and in this case, use the Base blockchain as their, you know, ledger system, which means all the transparency and all those other things are tapped into that, and also the Coinbase wallet, of course. So anyone who's participating in this bond by obligate, which is actually the issuer's micro capital, they, of course, will be able to use their Coinbase wallet and hold it with hold their Base token there if they want to. I think there's a lot of benefits to that. A lot of people are looking at Base for the ease of use that you have when the customer is already familiar with the product, already maybe has a Coinbase wallet that they can easily set up if not. So I think that's a very interesting trend as we try to break this educational thing. But just to end on what they're doing, MicroCapital, they actually have been around for quite some time, I think over two decades or almost two decades. They are doing microfinance, right? So there's a lot of small and medium-sized enterprises out there. They don't have easy access to capital and banks. And so they have to turn to borrowers, to online lenders, to lenders, I should say, and become the borrower. So in this case, Alternative, it's a securitization fund by MicroCapital. And of course, everything they raise from the bond goes to the loans to microfinance these businesses. So of course, there is a return opportunity with that. They're based out of Luxembourg. So I think very, very interesting what we got going on here with obligates.
It's cool to see. I think that we're seeing a lot of these trends popping up with whether it's, you know, the real estate, as I talked about, the standard structure for real estate. We've got these liquidity funds and covering a lot of the different money market funds that are coming to market. And then we're also seeing credit being another use case that is following in these footsteps of having, you know, a lot of access to capital. We've got this micro capital fund called Alternative. We also have Clearpool, which just launched their own fund in partnership with Banksa. So they have a credit vault where they have created this vault with $5 million, I believe, in USDC that is actually able for Banksa, which is a publicly listed company, to take out that capital, to deploy that capital, and then repay on the Avalanche blockchain. I believe they're 7-day loan. So it's a pretty short-term credit structure here. And they've already started working with 20 different institutions, including Jane Street and others. So these are two different examples of credit funds and things like that are coming to market. Bonds and debt instruments do seem to be a rising topic in the securitization space. So exciting to see, I think, another strong use case vertical that we're just beginning to see more and more and more companies taking advantage of. So love to see it. Sarah, what are your thoughts on debt and credit?
I think this is just another example of Web3 and the benefits of tokenization and the enhancements it can make on traditional financial products. So, you know, you look at the efficiencies that can be gained by trade execution, settlement on the blockchain, you know, leveraging internet money as opposed to traditional fiat rails. And I think the transparency that these products are going to offer by being in a tokenized format just really, really are going to provide more opportunities for people to see what's going on. And I think they're fantastic use cases where we're seeing a hybrid of traditional finance and Web3 technology start to really provide use cases that people can learn about and invest in.
Totally agree. It's cool to see how there's all these different blockchains getting involved too, right? We've got Base, I think, is the conversion, but Alternative was originally issued on Liquid, which is a Bitcoin sidechain through Bitfinex. So now they're also bringing it to Base. We've got Avalanche that is providing this credit fund and credit vault, excuse me. And of course, you know, with some of the earlier products we talked about, Ethereum being used. So there's just a lot of different blockchains that are being used for all these different products. And I think that's cool to see. As we've always talked about, multi-chain assets seem to be the future.
Yeah, agreed. And I think it's more important now than ever for financial professionals to learn about this and start to really understand what chains products are being built in, what are the economics, how does it work? Who's behind it? If especially if they're going to be investing client money, right? Because we do have a lot of blockchains. We have a lot of cryptocurrencies, and there are going to be winners. And there's, you know, a proven track record behind some of them. But it's really important now to understand.
We agree. We may have lost you there, Sarah. Hopefully you can tune back in. But I totally agree with your points there. Hurry, what else do we have?
Well, I do have just some remaining headlines just to leave people with, which is actually that GF Securities in Hong Kong, they issued the first tokenized short-term commercial paper, as well as the Hokoku Bank, which is Japan's first deposit-backed stablecoin that they have issued. So we are seeing to see more. I assume this is backed by the Japanese yen. So very cool to see more currencies and more stable coins enter the market. And last but not least, it's a new month, folks. So of course, we've got another report out on STM, and check out what happened in March. A lot happened in March. So STM.co, you can get all the latest news. But with that, folks, a shout out to Sarah Morton. Well, I think we can get her back on here real quick. See if we can. Nope, she might be gone. Thank you for joining us, Sarah. We appreciate it. Hopefully we see you on the show again soon. And with that, let's head over to an interview.
Great, everyone. Well, this week we're joined by Johnny Zhang from USP. Johnny, how are you this morning?
I'm good, good. How are you, Jason? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to come on. Last week, you won the company of the week for your recent RegCF offering on Republic. But before we dive into that offering itself, Johnny, why don't we talk about USP? Tell us about, you know, how you guys got started and what you guys are doing in the tokenization space, specifically around real estate.
Sure, sure. A quick background is I am Chinese, of course, first generation Chinese immigrants to the U.S., and I started my real estate private equity firm back in 2012. So it's been over 12 years I've been investing in real estate in the US. Of course, and my family and I have invested before that. So we have extensive experience in terms of investing in the real estates and developments in Southern California. So the problem we've seen is that private real estate, especially in private equity side, there's not much liquidity, and a lot of small investors cannot, first of all, is higher barrier to entry. They cannot get in because it's too expensive. And another reason, they don't want to get in because of the liquidity, right? When you invest some money, say it's fresh no money, then it's $50,000-$100,000 locked in for 5 to 10 years, right? Or if you want to buy by yourself, then it costs you millions of dollars. So lock a lot of people out, and especially for foreign investors, it's just really hard for foreign investors to get into the private real estate. It just is pretty much impossible. So that led me to create USP, which is the goal is to allow everybody to become a landlord through investing on the USP platforms. So how it works is USP fractionized the real estate property or the portfolio or the fund into a security token. Now, the security token, of course, is in compliance with the particular laws, the regulations. Then those security tokens represent the ownership of your investments of the real estate portfolios. Now, you can buy those tokens, and then you can, you know, sell. You can lend later, and you can custodian your wallets, or you can sell them later. So that gives you more flexibility, give you more liquidity. And most importantly, is the global investor can now actually start buying the US real estate where they cannot do that before. Now we're a marketplace, so we tokenize our own property worth over $52 million. Now we're actually starting to tokenizing other people's properties, help other real estate sponsors, owners to basically recapitalize to raise money for their projects, as well as give more opportunity to the retail investors around the globe to invest in the US real estate.
Makes total sense to me. You know, to your point about, you know, being a first generation immigrant, it's great to, and just other jurisdictions, it's great to have easier access to a US dollar pegged, you know, real estate property versus, you know, depending on each jurisdiction's condition, you know, how their currencies are doing and whatnot. So a great way to democratize that access. Just to clarify on the USP token structure, right? So are people investing into individual properties, or are they investing into a pool of properties that USV has kind of curated for them?
So imagine USV like a holding company.
Yep.
And then the token represents the fraction ownership, the common shares of the holding company. Now the holding company has two business. One is to buy and own and operate real estate portfolios. Now another one is the marketplace, that is the tech part, where we also tokenize other properties for the other people. So if you invest in USP, you become a shareholder of the holding company that owns both the technology platforms, also and the real estate portfolio.
Very nice, very nice. So that makes it a little bit more clear for us. Let's dive into the more recent news, which is the RegCF on Republic. You know, how'd you guys come across choosing to go the RegCF route, and why did you choose Republic to work with for this offering?
So it's pretty simple, right? Because the goal for me is to allow the smaller guys, the retail guys, to start getting into the real estate game. And the only way to do that legally in the US is to go through a crowdfunding or a Reg A. Of course, the Reg A is more expensive and it takes longer time. So Reg A is the obvious options. It actually took us a while to get Republic to willing to work with us. They're really hard to partner with because they're really picky about the project they're allowed to be on there. I think we're probably the first one on Republic platforms to offer security tokens. And then so it took us a long time to explain how these things work with them. And then they actually had a lot of concerns about how do you guys allow this token to be transact after the sale, right? You want to make sure everything you guys do are in compliance with the regulation right now, and then which is, has not been updated since what, 1948. So it took us a long time to figure out a way to work with them, but we finally did it. So the whole goal is obviously to offer the token to the retail investor, allowing them to get into the game.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, no, we know the Republic team well, and they've been increasing their footprint in the tokenization space too. So this seems like a really aligned partnership. You know, obviously they're working with INX on multiple fronts and potentially acquiring them. So, you know, you could be looking at the potential secondary market for the USP token. How long is the USP offering live for? And, you know, how can people learn more about you guys directly or the offering itself?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple, right? So there's two ways to get in. First of all, you can go to our website to see it, and it's usp.io. And we have a specific landing page for the Republic offering. So you can go to usp.io/Republic. Or you can go to Republic's website directly. You can just search our name, USP, or you can go to republic.com/USP. You'll find our offering page. It's the the deadline is end of this month. So April 30th is that deadline. So you cannot invest after that. But before that, it's $200 minimum investments. And anybody can get in. The whole goal is to set them investment bar really low, so allow anybody to start getting the invest. Unfortunately, on the Republic offering, we're only allowed to sell to US-based investors. They don't really take foreign investors. But you know, in the future, we'll offer the other. We did before last year. We actually offered offering around the Reg S, allow foreign investors to get in. This time, only for the US retail investors.
Gotcha. So for anyone listening, you know, you have until the end of the month to participate. Johnny, as people are considering whether or not to, you know, invest into USP through this RegCF, tell us a little bit more about your future plans. You know, what are you looking to do in May and beyond for USP? What's the future of the company look like?
So obviously, we all know that the RWA and the tokenization market is booming this year, right? It was not a good market last year. It was a little bit bad market. And then, but this year is getting really good. And all big players like BlackRock and then JP Morgan, they both got into the space. They also launched their own project. Like you said, Republic also got into the space as well. So a lot of big institutions start getting into the space because it just makes more sense, right? So do we. We think this is the future. Just like Larry Fink says, tokenization is the next generation of the markets. Everything will eventually be tokenized. So we're doing our parts only in the real estate side because I understand real estate. So the goal for us for this year and the coming years to obviously complete the race, then we're going to finish our marketplace, and then we'll launch the marketplace this year. Then the goal is to get as much people, as much users around the globe to know this opportunity existed. So give them opportunity to start becoming a landlord, start investing fresh in ownership in the real estate in the US. Or touch base what you said earlier is the reason we choose the US because the US real estate gives the most, is the safest investment on earth in the US. There are other markets, other countries, it's not stable, right? I come from China. We all know China's market was really good, but not really so good least recently, last few years. But U.S. market has always been good long-term in terms of appreciations. So I think that gives investors the safety they're looking for, right? People don't invest in real estate to want to get rich quick. They invest in real estate because they want real estate to store their savings to build wealth slowly but safely. So I chose U.S. real estate because I think that's the best products we can offer to the investors.
Sounds great. Well, there you have it, everyone. Check out USP on their website or on the Republic Offering website. Johnny, thank you for joining us today. We're now going to be transitioning over to the next section of the show.
And for this week's token debrief, we're kicking off with a major announcement from the Bank of International Settlements. That's the BIS. And they've partnered up with 7 central banks from around the world on Project Agora. So the New York Fed and the central banks from Japan, the UK, Korea, Mexico, Switzerland, and the European Central Bank, they're all exploring how tokenization can be used to improve existing financial systems with an emphasis on upgraded payment rails for more efficient financial transactions. So the goal of Project Agora is to come up with something that is eventually usable, folks, not just hypothetical. So this is a sign that they are going to be moving towards some kind of technology for others to use. I think that's huge. And of course, CBDCs are a hot topic as stablecoins continue to grow to the size of hundreds of billions. And on that news, we also saw Ripple announce a stablecoin of their own backed by 100% cash equivalents. According to Ripple, a third-party accounting firm will audit the reserves of these assets, and they will be published by Ripple every month. And this shows the opportunity, of course, as stablecoins are still early, and Ripple believes institutions want to leverage their product now, and that this will encourage people to build on the XRP ledger. And we also saw plenty of new service providers enter the tokenization market this week. First, we saw GK8, a custody firm owned by Galaxy Digital. They announced a new tokenization wizard to enable them to provide the tokenization technology to issuers, of course, marking an evolution beyond their custody services. We also saw similarly FusionIQ, which launched FIQ Market One, a white label platform designed for wealth managers so they can create client portals to allow their investors to essentially find and participate in deals in an easier, digital, and friendlier manner. And finally, I also think it's cool that 2 veterans from Block Tower and Goldman Sachs have formed Neoclassic Capital. It's a new fund for digital assets. And it's worth mentioning that Mark Andreessen and Chris Dixon have invested in the company since they launched. And they happen to be here in my backyard in Miami. And the firm is stated to focus on crypto derivatives, but also the tokenization of real world assets, entertainment, gaming, and social media. And a quick shout out to end this segment to Peter Gaffney, that's our head of research, who opined on the recent BlackRock Biddle Fund for CoinDesk's crypto long and short newsletter. The piece is actually called Where BlackRock Goes, Liquidity Flows. So I think that's a great title, Peter. Go check that out if you're interested. And that's the token debrief. You can always find all of the news we discuss on the show anytime at stm.co. And now let's go finish off the show.
And it's that time of the week, Herwig.
Another great episode, Kyle. So many companies doing so many amazing things. An amazing guest, an amazing interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of the show, as you said. Companies of the week. Woo! This is where we get to choose our winner each that we thought made the biggest moves in the space. Got to put a highlight on it, Kyle.
Gosh, please, I'm excited.
Company of the week. Episode 231.
My winner is Tuscany Digital. They are doing some great things, owning a slice of Italy. As a pizza connoisseur, I love anything to do with Italian slices. And let me tell you, this one is no different. It's a Italian company. They own a big luxury resort. They're tokenizing on T0. They seem to be doing everything the right way. And I think it's a great real estate property and opportunity. Obviously, not financial advice, but by great, I mean it's exciting and cool to see another country with cool real estate that's tokenizing and creating these opportunities. This is just one of what seems like hundreds now of cool opportunities, companies and issuers that are around the world. So congratulations to the Tuscany team. The underlying company is Park Street Tuscany. So shout out to them for bringing this to market. And of course, T0 for being the broker.
It's a novel offering. We love this trend of companies focusing on aligning their customers with them through their own stock. And this is a perfect example. This isn't meant to be gobbled up by Blackstones of the world. You know, this is meant to be for those who actually want to go here and experience this amazing thing. Hint, Tuscany team, Kyle and I would be more than happy to fly out there and do a video.
Yeah, a little on-site.
We might have to do our own inspection, maybe, you know. But I think that's a great win. Definitely cheering them on and hoping them and wishing them much success.
Absolutely right, Herwig. Who's your winner?
Well, my winner is going to be the company that helped power the Tuscany offering. You know, so right. In this case, of course, I'm talking about T0. Also launching a second primary offering. This is a clear sign that they are now back on the scene and actively engaging with issuers, actively starting to promote, which again, the expectation would be that these will eventually all hit the secondary market, which means more products there as well. So this is a sign of an ecosystem that's alive and well for T0. I wanna point out that they are also not just sticking to their usual focus around, you know, traditional equities and real estate, but actually this is a pre-IPO fund, a vetted team. Many people have, you know, speculated and suggested that, of course, with ICE and David Goon taking over as CEO with their experience and network, you're going to see a lot of veteran products from Wall Street take advantage of the rails that they've developed. It looks like this offering with Ennis Capital is that being the case. So I hope to see more offerings. I hope this isn't just, you know, a few and then they go away for a little while. I hope this is the sign of a market that is alive and well, and that they're going to continue to launch more and more offerings, and that they are going to be back in the limelight as they have been many, many years in the past. So Kyle, T0, they're my company of the week.
Yeah, they've been in this game for so long. They are an OG, if you will. They've got their broker dealer that they're pumping out primaries. They, of course, have their secondary market, which they were very early to market with back in 2019. So they've been operating in ATS for years and still pumping out great products. I think this is a great winner. And they're a former company of the year.
That's right. And with that, everybody, that is the Security Token Show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoy the new time slot on Friday so that we can just be a little bit more relevant with you. Shout out to the whole production team that's helping make this happen and possible for you. And of course, in the meantime, check out stm.co for all the latest trading information. We've got charts. We've got new listings. We've got all kinds of news. And of course, we've got our summit. We're now just approaching weeks away, almost about a month away here, May 9th and 10th in Miami. Tokenize this. Come join us. Go check out more info at summit.stm.co and come join us.
We'll talk to you next week.
Happy tokenizing.